Let us turn to the book of Exodus, and we will take four readings that will be representative of the exercise before us this evening. The book of Exodus and chapter 25. Verse number 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments or the furniture thereof. Even so shall ye make it. The second reading is in the same chapter towards the final verse, verse number 40. Chapter 25, verse 40. And look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Third reading is in chapter 26, please. And verse number 30. And thou shalt wear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. And finally, chapter 27, please. Sorry, chapter 27, yes, chapter 27 and verse number 8, towards the end of the description of the brazen altar in its design, verse 8 says, hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. May the Lord's richest blessing be upon the reading of this precious word. The subject before us tonight is, as we have in the title, Moses receives the pattern of the house. The chapters allocated for our consideration would require a week of Bible readings, and all that will be very intense. What I desire to do would be to take up expressions that would be unique, and what we have read in the four introductory readings regarding the pattern will be a feature of the portions that are before us. What we have before here, how God would communicate to Moses and then to the children of Israel. So I will proceed in this manner, firstly taking expressions and then giving a title to it, and then proceeding on taking a few expressions and giving a title, and we shall cover about six of these little, or maybe it's not so little, six of these headings. To begin, I want to think of the expression, the Lord called unto Moses. I want to call this the call for the fellowship. And what it means for me, and I trust for you also, is Christ and His position. The call for the fellowship. For you will be aware that in reading chapter 25, just before that, you will notice that in verse number 16, that God called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Some here would have heard this little exercise already in a short word of ministry, but I would like to begin this way. There are five mentions where specifically we read the Lord called unto Moses. The first mention is in Exodus chapter 3. And in verse number 4, that dear man, while having gone through those years and with that flock of sheep, and there the Lord called unto Moses out of the burning bush. We come further in his experience and we come to chapter 19 and verse number 3. There we read the second time when the Lord would call unto Moses. Where after seeing the great power of redemption over the very life of bondage and the tyrant king and over the land of Egypt and crossing the mighty Red Sea and coming to the foot of Mount Sinai, God called out unto Moses, it says there, out of the mountain. And then we come further to chapter number 19 and verse number 20. Just before the Lord will summon the dear servant of God up to the mountain again and from there give him the tables of the law, again we read in chapter 19 verse 20, God called out unto Moses out of the top of the mount. The fourth time, we come to Exodus chapter number 24 and verse number 16, and that's what we would come to chapter 25 just before giving the entire design for the tabernacle. We hear those words, the Lord called out unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And then the fifth time, in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1, Jehovah called out unto Moses out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Dear brethren and sisters, I trust that this would be the ground that we would like to lay. And as we learn how Moses discerned or received the pattern of the house, he would first of all have to be aware in his hearing towards the very call of the Lord unto him. The Lord called unto Moses out of the bush. In chapter 19, earlier part, chapter 19, second part, chapter number 24, third part, those three moments, the Lord called out unto Moses out of the mountain. And then the third or the fifth time, if we were just grouped that way, in Leviticus chapter 1, the Lord called unto Moses out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Out of the bush, out of the mount, and out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Just mentioning there those little incidents or those three occasions where the Lord called unto Moses out of the mount. The first time it was to reveal the entire purpose of God, that the entire nation was in the program of God to make them a kingdom of priests. And then the second time it was to call him and to prepare him for the moment when those tables of law of a holy and righteous God would be entrusted into the very custody and hands of the nation. And then the third time would be a call to prepare Moses to be ready to receive the design of the house. Brethren and sisters, we have a Savior who called us, as in Romans 1, in salvation. We parallel that to the call of the Lord unto Moses out of the bush. And there consider the holy God in that consuming fire and the picture of that tree, of that plant, of that bush. There in that situation, there is that fire. What a picture, not only of the nation with a holy God, and also reminding us of that picture of the Christ at Calvary's cross, where the very holiness of God is displayed as the sinless, spotless, living Son of God there died at the place called Calvary. And that is how many of us came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hear him there and see him there, dying on the cross, rising again the third day, and there becoming our Lord and Savior. And what a parallel! We too have, just like Moses, been called in salvation. When we come to the three mentions of the call of the Lord unto Moses from the mountaintop, we have a Savior who has ascended on high. And in that very position, He has called believers, called saints, not called to be saints, called saints, called unto a position with Christ in the heavenly places. And it is then that we begin to discern the entire purpose of God, the Son, the eternal Son, with His people in bringing many sons unto glory. We begin to discern the day is coming when we shall rule and reign with Christ. Haven't we appreciated this morning where He has made us kings and priests unto God? Or in a variant reading, He has made us a kingdom of priests. And so, the right understanding of what God gave to Moses, or what God did to Moses when He called him from the mount and gave him the purpose of what He wanted the nation to be. That second time out of the mount, the Lord would call unto Moses and there would reveal unto him the law that would be a new form of living. The law that would mean that here is a people that would live lives that are very different. Here is a people that would live lives that display the demand of a holy and righteous God upon the nation and what it means for Him holy to be in their midst. And we have our Savior there in His position up in the heavenly places. And we are not under the law. In Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus. And that is the lifestyle that we have been called unto. The manner of living, our behavior now governed by the risen man who has gone into heaven and satisfied God the Father eternally. And so we too will know what it means to be called saints, not only to be called unto a purpose, to know what we will be with Him now and in the day to come, but also called to display that life practically that would be speak of sanctification, of holiness, of all that would be again the epistle that we would love to quote, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And then the third time out of the mount, we discern the Lord call unto Moses, and there to prepare him to receive the design of the house. And haven't we also now entering into the fullness of New Testament revelation to understand His design with the church, which is His body, and to understand all that would be locally represented in house of God, and that has never been known in Old Testament times. Here is something new. Here is something of a design of which we have been appreciating in our morning readings. And I trust a little savor of it in the pattern that Moses received. The call for the fellowship, Christ and His position. And that fifth time when God called, it was out of the tabernacle of the congregation, not called of Jesus Christ in salvation, not called saints in the very living, practical understanding of that position that He has placed us in with Him in heavenly places, but also called, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a position that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed Himself, Him and His position and His people. Brother and sister, tonight before we go any further, have you understood? As you enter in to discern what Moses received when he was there, the recipient of the pattern of the house, do you know the call of salvation? Do you know the call unto sanctification in a very practical expression of what He has meant for all that he is now in glory seated? And then do you understand your position is in assembly testimony tonight? Are you here by convenience, or are you here by conviction? And for those who are not in assembly fellowship, will you discern these parallels? That here we have never contrived it, we have never created it, we never conjured out of thin air. It is just there in the Word of God. It parallels perfectly the harmony of Holy Scripture demanding upon you not only a call of salvation, a holy life, but are you in a good or assembly fellowship? Trust that these things will just mean something for us as we begin our understanding of this heaven that Moses received. We come now to chapter number 25 and running through chapter number 30. I want to think of the comprehension for faithfulness. The comprehension for faithfulness. Christ and His principles. What do I mean? Well, we begin to lift up the words. There are three words as we have taken in our reading variously that would signify a demand upon our entire spiritual understanding. And this understanding will call us to a comprehension that will be answerable to the faithfulness that Moses was called upon to display when he received the very pattern of the house. Those words are number one, found in verse number 8 and verse number 9, show. And then in verse number 9 again, pattern. And then one more time, when in one of our readings we have discerned the expression in chapter number 26, verse number 30, fashion. Those three words are unique as they reveal what Moses is to understand as eventually the showing, the pattern, the fashion will place itself in its demand, in its responsibility, in its burden for faithfulness. What is your comprehension and mine, brethren and sisters? Here is the comprehension for faithfulness, Christ and His principles. Show. It tells me of a vision to perceive. Show. A vision to perceive. When we come to the word pattern, it conveys the understanding and idea of the vocation to perform. For after all, an object is given before Moses in its entirety, and he is told of the demand to devote that time, the material, the energy, and all the effort, and the understanding, the skill, and the wisdom, the vocation that will require us to bring upon our performance to see the product, the pattern. And then in the third word, we have the word fashion. I was quite interested and quite impressed to learn that the same word fashion is used just a few chapters afterwards to describe the breastplate of judgment. That's the same word fashion, judgment, and there is that word which conveys to me the value of its preciousness. Can I repeat that? A vision to perceive. The vocation to perform. You realize what is the burden and what is the object before you. And you have to produce that. Human hands. All that the divine mind has revealed unto Moses. Human ability will have the privilege to reproduce and to replicate and to design it in all its faithfulness. There is the understanding and the requirement to perform. What a vocation. And then the word fashion. To understand that there is a judgment involved. The depth thereof. We will have no time to cover all those things, but I was just appreciating the half measures and the complete measures. And you always tell us of those wonderful things. Where the complete measures will tell us of all that God would have in His purpose in Christ, in all its completeness, in its fullness, in all its finishness, and in all its completeness. Forgive me for that lousy English there. And then that where in the half measures there, you begin to discern a little of that which would be unreachable by the very grasp of the human hand. Here are things that will greatly impress Moses regarding the judgment when he measures them, when he understands the depth, and he understands the way in which the colors, the material, all have to demand the understanding, there is judgment involved, the value of its preciousness. What do we have in the New Testament? Well, I want to think of 1 Corinthians, Christ and his principles. There was a time when Paul says, I will send unto you Timothy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17, it says, he will bring you into remembrance of my ways. So the Corinthian believers are given a vision to perceive, that in their actions, you know what chapter 1 and 2 and 3 are all about, where Paul, in chapter 4, he reveals that place of Apollos and myself as an example of the absurdity of what you are displaying in that assembly. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. And he comes to chapter 4, he says, I made it a pattern as an example and a show how absurd it is that me and Apollos display such things. And then in unity with his fellow servants, he says, when I send Timothy unto you, he will bring you into remembrance of my ways. A vision to perceive. Brethren and sisters, what are we looking at? If we are to receive the pattern, not only to appreciate Christ having a position and he's calling us unto it in all that we enjoy now, there are principles. And these principles involve a vision. What kind of a person are you following? What kind of an individual are you making as an example, as something that will be a principle in his life, in his conduct, in his home, in his dealing with fellow believers? Paul says, I will bring Timothy. And you think Timothy here is a man that will just speak of another person. Timothy will be a man who will just detail by detail, point by point, and we begin to appreciate, here is a man that knows another man. In such a faithful display, in such a faithful representation, Timothy will not say, you know, there is something about the Apostle Paul, you know. Here is something. Bring into remembrance my ways. And here is a vision calling upon us. There are principles. And when we are given a pattern, what kind of people are we viewing? It will not be when we are considering the English Premier League. Here is a vision for all of us. We come to the vocation to perform, and we think of 1 Corinthians, those special words in chapter number 7. And in the very context of the position of marriage and the bond and the sanctity of it and the purity of it, he uses the word ordained in all the churches. Then he comes to chapter number 9. He uses the same word, given order. And then he comes to chapter number 11 again. And there he says, as I have given order. And then in chapter number 16 and verse number 1, concerning the practical collection for the saints, as I have given order. Here is a word, ordained. Here is a word, order, that will correspond to the burden of the vocation to perform. Here is something entrusted to us in assembly life. Here is something entrusted to us in assembly testimony. And the words tell us that there is a requirement for us that as we hold it, there is a requirement to perform. Dear brother, dear sister, I want to think of the sanctity of the family and the marriage life. Whatever it is that you are going through, make sure there is a brother and he begins to reveal his problem. He has been held back by a lot of things. And finally he says, John, that's my wife. She somehow is not in the same frequency. And it frustrates me because I want to go on for God. And she is not with me. And what must I do? And the reply given was to call him to patiently endure, to call him to that position where the bond is holy and it has been instituted by God. It would be the desire of the evil one to see it break apart and just leave it in that way. And the children are left to suffer. These are things that are real. And they happen in our present testimony. And brothers and sisters, here is something that we have been given order in assembly life. When we also put it, the family and the marriage bond comes to be displayed in all its harmony. Assembly life, family life, and the marriage bond in all its fullness. There are those today that will say that the family is so important that church takes away my time and therefore I set it apart. It's either the family or it's the assembly. And usually they chose what would be the natural way and the natural links. And you see them absent from the meetings. Brothers and sisters, the happiest place for your family to be. Whatever the demands, it might be difficult. I remember those early years when we were taking the bus and then driving through the traffic jam just to arrive in a meeting hall, in Paramount Gospel Hall. These are years and these are times when the family is together. Although times are trying, to just be present there with the children, with the wife, together in the very, under the very sound of the ministry of the Word of God, enjoying the presence of God. There are things that we can go on, we can touch on chapter number 11, and think there also of that vocation to perform. Concerning the Lord's Supper, concerning all that Paul would still do at the morning meeting. He said, the rest, as I have given order, I will come and do. And in a little while in my visit. Dear brothers and sisters, how do we move in our Sunday morning meeting? And in all our other meetings, are we behaving in such a way where we come into the very censure or the very rebuke of 1 Corinthians 11? Do not ye have homes to eat and to drink? Despise ye the church of God? The apostle says, when you come, there is a purpose. It is not just to be present on time, but it is also to be there, to know that here is something that brings honor to God. You might be very tired, my brother and my sister, after a long day's work, and your children might be just dozing off as they sit under the meetings, and the homework is piling up, and the bag is so heavy for the next day, and the teacher is holding the cane and ready to execute whatever it might be. Brothers and sisters, there is a God that you are honoring. When you attend the meetings there, there is a God that you are showing your devotion to. And these things will count valuable in the day when your children, your wife will appreciate. It has been good to stay intact. So times of responsibility, to times of difficulty, to just be there in assembly meetings. I know there are demands. I know there are circumstances. We are bringing general peace for the application and good and response of individual believers. And so we move on. And we think of these things in the words, not only bring into remembrance our vision, but also an order that is entrusted unto us. There is the word fashion. There is the value of the preciousness of the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 2, Paul says, I delivered. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 23, he says, I deliver. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, he says, I deliver. These are vital words, my dear friends and fellow believers. These are words that convey our personal appreciation, a value that would have involved Paul going through thick and thin and trial and tears and every tribulation and temptation to make sure those things will be handed over to the custody of the assembly, delivered unto you. What is the value of these things, my dear brother? For you to practice it, do you realize it has required the very cost? As we have heard already, as believers respond to the call of God to serve, you can do the same. To respond to the understanding that it has caused brethren before us to maintain assembly principles in all its fullness, in all its appreciation, so that we might come to be the recipients of these good things that we enjoy today. Christ, the call for the fellowship, the comprehension for faithfulness, Christ and His principles. Now I want to come to the four passages that we have read. And the four passages that we have read bring before us the pattern. And every time it is in the mouth. I'm going to call this the command for the furniture. The command for the furniture. It is Christ and His person. Christ and His position. Christ and His principles. Here is now the Christ and His person. The command for the furniture in the mouth. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate even the deeper of all that occupies the person of the Lord Jesus now that He is in glory seated, much more than the disciples did when He was in the days of His flesh. Let us discern, taking up the record of the Gospels and bringing it all the way to the position where He is. It makes it the sweeter. It makes it the more precious. Having seen Him down here, rejected, unaccepted, in heaven, glorified, exalted, welcomed, and adored by all those who witness the living Son of God who came down here below. And so as we receive the appreciation of the pattern, we must understand that Moses received it in the mount. And might we appreciate the person of Christ and all that He is essentially. In Exodus chapter 25, verse number 8 to verse number 9, He says there, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I will just lift up this verse. Here is the center. That word, dwell among them. Let them. We have been enjoying those things that will call us to give our devotion, bring our offerings. And in the earlier verses, it's the same. The material, and I like it because in Exodus chapter 20, Moses was still in the mount. That event of defilement and disobedience down there hasn't occurred yet. And you will just here think a little, perhaps, of God's intention of what He wanted the entire nation to be. And He says, every man that giveth willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. That is the word for the heave offering. It requires effort to just lift up the thing and bring it before God and wave it. And this is my presentation, God. And there, see it contributed. And then says there, let them make me a sanctuary. That word sanctuary occurs only, I think, here. And the other time is in Exodus 15. The place that describes the sacredness of the most holy place. Here is a description from the Lord. Not just the courts. Not just the tabernacle in the holy place. Not just the priesthood. He says, let them make me a sanctuary. A reference, I know that it will have its implications throughout it all. But here is a word that the Lord used Himself that refers to that holiest vicinity. He says that I may dwell among them. The center. Dwell, the presence, and here is the person. I have been very much impressed as I discerned these chapters and read them through again and again. It's very interesting because Moses must have had his mind racing. As he was trying to figure out, and perhaps as he was there at the mount, the fear and the awe and all that vision before him, and after that with all the construction, there was one thing that was in my mind. You see, that figure, or that pattern of things that was showed him in the mount, had a veil. And it was just there with all the figures shown. Where is the priest? As the Lord would give the instruction for the functioning of the priesthood in chapter 28 and chapter 29. In heaven, I want to say this, and if I'm wrong, I know Brother Tom Wilson, he will correct me because he's been doing studies in the tabernacle and we feel ministry in it. I just want to perceive this because there I do not think that figure and pattern that was given there in the mount was something that was functioning in the presence of God. No functioning priesthood seen in that vision availed there. It was obviously, as we are instructed by the epistle from to the Hebrews, he says there, Paul says, well, you know what I mean there. The writer to the Hebrews there writes, a worldly sanctuary. In other words, it's not that the sanctuary was worldly. It was a sanctuary for the very position that it will have in this world. What God gave to Moses there was not something that had angels flying around and had a priest. There was no priest in that vision. That clothing for the priest was given there in the mount, but there was no vision. Maybe there was, I do not know, I didn't see, we haven't read those words, but as Moses saw it, we do not read of him seeing. He saw a pattern, but there was no functioning priesthood there in the heavenly places. For Christ hadn't come. What I mean is this, that as Moses' mind was racing in his understanding, where is this all pointing onto? He knew very well that with these figures, he knew, as the pattern is erected and constructed upon the earth, there must come a day when someone will fulfill this in heaven, when that priest that God has appointed in the functioning of those garments of glory and beauty must be fulfilled by a man. Who is that man? And as the Lord gave him those things, I believe it has been the search and inquiry of the type of the tabernacle, thank God that we are coming to the good, of the one who has gone into the holiest, and now everything is revealed, and we begin to understand that it was something that required the entering in of the Lord Jesus, and his entrance into the heavenly places, taking up his position as great high priest. My trans brothers and sisters, we begin to appreciate this little matter or this great subject of Christ and his person. Let them make me. Paul put preach in Acts chapter 17, it says, God will not be pleased to dwell in the house made with hands. Here is something that we read because it says, according to all that I show thee in the mount. Brethren and sisters, the Lord will never be pleased to find a position where he will take up identification with his people, except it be according to the revealed word of God. So there we have the person of the Lord Jesus, his presence. I want to enjoy John's writings in this regard. Many times where John brings before us the dwelling, the day will come when God will desire to dwell. I know that it's personal in those discourses of the upper room ministry, and then we come forward to his epistles, and then we come to the book of Revelation. That thought of him dwelling. Because in those final chapters of Revelation, God is dwelling with man again. And he will be their God. They will be his people, and all that will bring about this fulfillment in the desire of God. Coming up from the Catholic background, going through the charismatic days after I got saved, and then coming to read the scriptures, eventually being convicted of the pattern in the Word of God, in New Testament way of gathering, the doctrines begin to form, the appreciation of the priesthood of believers began to develop an understanding. There was one thing missing. And as I appreciated, and I went to those places, and they went to this, and I went to that, the doctrines are there. The headship in some places, they were practicing it, but something missing. And I wondered what that missing thing was, until I got a little book. As I purchase it, it says there, Behold My Glory by Harold St. John. And as I drank in the fullness of that little booklet, I began to understand the missing thing that was in my search, the desire to have everything right with everything there, and God in the midst. The day came when I finished the book with that final poem at the end of the book, And those simple words, I recorded them in my Bible. Nothing between, Lord. Nothing between. Dear brother, dear sister, this is what it means to receive the pattern. When we gather in assembly testimony, it is Christ and His person, nothing between. I began to realize that there were things in my life that were coming in between. There were things in my life that I was doing that was not appropriate. It hindered that fulfillment of that very verse. Nothing between, Lord. Nothing between. An appreciation of Christ and His person in the center. Chapter 25, verse number 40, please. In verse number 40, there is a special word, not dwell now, but look. There's a word of caution. Look. After describing the three items, important items there, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the table, and the lampstand. And one more time before God proceeds further, marking a change or marking a transition, behold, see, look, caution. Thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. This brings me to the epistle to the Colossians. As Paul tells them to beware. As you have been given these things regarding the person of Christ, take caution. There are many things that will come in to mar that appreciation, whether it be doctrinal or whether it be moral. That is something that we have to guard in the preeminency of the Lord Jesus. There was a time as I moved further on, just, if you can just forgive the personal reference there, coming to that position when we became aware of the importance of the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we began to shudder at the expressions Jesus and begin to realize that the way in which the outside people that we are commonly associated with in the world of denominationalism and charismaticism, the address, the view, the interest in the person of the Lord Jesus was not there. And eventually we begin to express caution. And as they begin to mention the name of the Lord in a different way, it's not the same as what we read in the Word of God. It's not the same as what we believers in the Bible appreciated. And we begin to exercise caution. Here is the word. Look. After those three pieces of furniture, God says, behold, take caution that you have not veered away from any detail thereof. In Exodus chapter number 26 and verse number 30, and thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion. Here is the word I would like to highlight, rear up. Here is the charge. Not only Christ and His person, the center, the caution to be expressed, here is the charge, rear up. The perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, unitedly appreciated by the company. There is no place on the earth as far as a meeting that names the name of Christianity as the local assembly when it comes to the exaltation of the person of the Lord Jesus. The day came when we sat in the back seat and for the first time began to understand. They believe in this, they believe in that, they believe in this and this. That's all very good. But the fragrance, the worship, the appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ is unparalleled in any other place that we have been going to seek a resting place. Until that morning, when the brother stood up, prayed according to Philippians chapter 2, and another brother raised a hymn, and another brother followed in the theme, together they reared up. In all the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they brought it to a unity. They brought it to a climax. When the moment came to break the bread and take of that cup, the dear man of God there, Mr. John Glanville, as he stood up and gave thanks, I had never heard any expression of praise and prayer like that before. And as we were enjoying the dear woman there that had tears in her eyes, there Mr. John Glanville, as he recalled the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross and what it meant to God and what it was for us. He shed tears as he gave thanks. And there I was, sitting there, Lord, this is the place. There is nothing like the appreciation of the Lord Jesus, as in the place where the pattern is honored and the person is there central in all his prominent and preeminent and perfection in his person. So where we have the charge. In Exodus chapter 27, we were told there in the making of the brazen altar in verse number 8, hollow the boards. Shalt thou make it as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they. This time, for the first time, we hear a little reference to the plural. And it has got to do with the reference to the brazen altar. And here is the description, hollow the boards. There is one being equal with God, thought it not robbery to be being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Hollow with boards, and yet the work of the brazen altar in taking up all that would consume the sacrifice and would present it to God, and all that it would mean for the acceptance of the children of Israel, and all that it would mean with the bloodshed at the sight thereof, and all that it would mean there with the ashes at the foot of the altar. There, in that description, the Lord says here, is the appreciation of the cross. Brethren and sisters, one of the things in the pattern that Moses received as he was given the directions of all these pieces of furniture, we come to this little expression here, they. I want to think of the proclamation of the person. And we are brought to not John's writings, not the Colossian epistle, not the Ephesians, but the Philippians. And their exercise from the first day, one of those first works that we can enjoy also from our reading this morning, from the first day until now, the fellowship of the gospel, the presentation and the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. I have never heard the gospel preached until, in all its fullness, I knew what it meant to do personal work. I knew what it meant to share the gospel one by one. But when I came into the assembly, that was the first time I learned how it was like to preach the gospel. And every time you hear the gospel, you feel as if you want to be saved again. You feel as if there, the Lord Jesus crucified, the love of God pouring out in such a manner, you know, your heart is warm and you draw closer. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is not only for the sinners, it's also for the saints. And the more we come into the goodness, into the fullness, under the sound of the gospel, Christ is presented afresh, crucified amongst the very companies of God's people in the preaching of the gospel. How it warms our hearts, brethren and sisters. And I trust it will give us that savor to go out to tell people of this love of God that brought him down to save the lost. And he shed precious blood upon the cross. There, the proclamation of the gospel. I trust that we, as we think of the pattern, and as we think of the brazen altar, the importance of preaching the gospel, presenting sinners with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and pointing them to him for salvation, full and free. It's easy to just tell about the wretchedness of mankind, and we can sometimes just go on and on. But then the last moments come in the gospel meeting, and suddenly I want to talk about Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us have a balance. But as we touch upon the sinfulness of man, and all that we know in our own being, let us direct their attention not only to themselves within, but to the remedy, to the salvation of God, for all that he has provided full, free, forever. Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and risen and exalted to be the living Savior. I trust we will keep these things in our hearts as we think of the pattern, the command for the furniture, in the person of Christ in all his work and essence. Come with me now to another item that I want to think about. I want to think of the character of the fabric, the character of the fabric. Christ and His people. This one, I trust, I will use your good judgment and good remembrance and knowledge of these chapters. There are five pieces that I want to highlight. The first one, I want to go from chapter 27, verse number 9, the fine linen, the hanging of the court, white outside. And then I want to come to chapter 26 and verse number 14, the badger skins. We are told that they are covering. And then chapter 26, verse number 14, the ram skins dyed red. And then in chapter 26, verse number 7, we read of the goat's hair being the tent. So we have the hanging of the court, we have the covering, two layers, and then we have what is called the goat's hair as the tent. And then we have chapter 26, verse number 1, linen, blue, purple, scarlet, what is called the tabernacle. And I enjoy these five items here. And I want to think of that expression in chapter number 26, somewhere down there, where the Lord says to Moses, you will bring this together, and you will bring this together and couple them 50 patches of gold. And then it says that they shall be one tabernacle. You know what happened on Acts chapter 2? On the day of Pentecost, the 50th day, there was one body formed with the very coming in and coming down of the Holy Spirit of God. And what a picture here. I will not say that this is the picture. I was thinking much more of what Christ would be now with His people in all His completeness. It is not that Christ is not complete, but we appreciate that verse in Ephesians where God has given Him to be head over all things to the church, that He might be all and all in all His fullness. Here we have the fabric. Christ and His people. Can I go to the New Testament again? This time I again bring up 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. And I want to link it with Luke's gospel. I believe Luke was working side by side with the apostle Paul, and he knew very well what Paul was writing in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory, or received up in glory. I began to realize that only Luke presents the same presentation. God was manifest in the flesh, Luke presents it. Seen of angels, Luke is the only one that mentions the most times angels. Preached unto the Gentiles, Luke is the only one that mentions times of the Gentiles. Believed on in the world, Luke is the only one that mentions the world to the uttermost part and the nations. Received up into glory, Luke is the only one that closes in that special way apart from the ending of Mark. What am I driving at? Well, I'm coming to Luke's gospel. There we begin to learn Christ and His person. Where? Well, there is a time in Luke's gospel where the Lord Jesus began to say unto His disciples, of course you are following me, and you just turn with me to Luke's gospel, please, and chapter number 12. Luke's gospel in chapter 12, and verse number 1, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Verse number 22, please. In verse number 22, He said unto His disciples, take no thought for your life. What simplicity. In chapter number 16 and verse number 1, please. He said unto His disciples. And He brings out the illustration of the steward and his fidelity. Chapter 17 and verse number 1, he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses come, and he speaks about forgiveness and relationship between brethren. There is a little thought of reality. And then finally in chapter 17 and verse number, if you can just come to the final reference there, verse number 22. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Here is a desire to see the entirety of God's program. What am I driving at? Christ and His person. Luke's gospel is the gospel of the perfect manhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in these final moments, He begins to instruct His disciples. And He tells them about what it means to have the fabric of the house. In chapter number 12, He says, beware of hypocrisy. We are thinking of the sincerity of the linen, the cord, and the hanging thereof. In chapter number 12, verse number 22, and he speaks of, take no thought of your life, not only sincerity, but simplicity. And then we come to the second piece of fabric, badger skins. That skin that was able to withstand the very weather of the wilderness travel. You know, simplicity in life, godliness with contentment is great gain. That simplicity that will bring you through by faith, that will bring you through when many are set aside by the weight, by the sin, and by the many things. It is so vital in discipleship, in assembly life, to learn sincerity, simplicity. Then we have in chapter 16, verse number 1, where the Lord Jesus said unto his disciples regarding fidelity, thinking of the covering of the ramskin's dyed red, it's not seen. But that color in my little understanding will endure the very time of the wilderness travel and in all its duration and its period. It speaks a little about what is underneath. And loses not in color the requirement of fidelity in discipleship. And then we come to that portion where the Lord Jesus says, you need to take heed how you treat one another. And we are thinking of the goat's hair. Chapter number 27. First time we see goat's hair. Where that dear young man put upon him something that will speak about his brother's complexion and physical appearance and features. Puts on him unreality as he enters in into the house and deceives the father. That goat's hair is the first time we see it in the covering of unreality, where it should speak of reality. Goat's hair. And then paralleling that with what we have in the relationship between brethren. Reality. And then finally we come to the disciples being told, there will come a day, there are many things that can be said desiring the days of the Son of Man, what it is in our entire body, soul, and spirit. So here, something I would just call the fabric of the house, the character thereof, Christ and His people. Chapter 28. And now we come to the following expressions. Chapter 28 and verse number 1. A little expression that now brings us into the exercise of Aaron and his sons. The expression that I want you to pick up is, with him unto me. With him unto me. Chapter number 28. Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him. And then you come down in verse number 3, minister unto me. Verse number 4, minister unto me. Come to verse number 41, please. There we see again with him in verse number 41, and then unto me. I will try to be very brief as I now come to the final point that I just had in mind. Here is the consecration for the function. We've been hearing a little already of the consecration of a believer for the very service of God. Here is the consecration for priestly service for the function. Christ and his priest. So what do we have? It's with him. In chapter 28, verse number 1 to 4, we are told, holy garments unto me. What do I mean? We are with him. We are going to be unto God. God is going to take delight in the very leadership of his son as he leads the worship of his people, presenting the fragrance of his work and his person and all that are together with him. Unto me. And the first reference there in chapter 28, and there verse 1 to verse 4, just notice that little word, holy garments. In chapter 28 and verse number 41, just notice that word, holy place. When you come to chapter 29 and verse number 1, just notice there, hallowed them, holy persons. And then, come to chapter 29, verse 31, you see there, with him, you see that the blood on the tip of the ear, on the right hand of the tongue, and on the great toe, there, touched with the blood of the ram of consecration. Holy activities. The ear, Aaron is going to listen to a lot of complaints. Aaron is going to listen to a lot of private problems. Aaron is going to listen to a lot of personal, collective problems, whatever it may be. Whatever it is, the responsibility of the priesthood. As believers, brothers and sisters, as we share our personal, private things with one another, let us realize that this year is marked out for redemption. That this year is for the Lord, and that's right here. Let us not convey the, play the role of the talebearer, dividing the brethren. Play the role of the whisperer, backbiting the brethren this year that Aaron had. It was marked at the tip of it with the blood of a ram of consecration. Bring it before God, for that was the work of the holy priesthood. As they hear the problems, as they hear the weaknesses, they bring it before God as they presented the sacrifices. The right thumb, there we are told that the thumb is the position grip. The member that will allow the grip to be precise. And as Aaron holds those instruments, God says, you better be steady when you hold divine things, for your thumb has been signified. And you better make sure that as we are carefully handling the things of God, let us remember that that hand and that thumb signify God's desire that we handle his matters in a most holy and sanctified way. And as Aaron walks in the dust of the tabernacle and in other times also in the temple, the great toe there signifying the balance. So that Aaron is careful. And as he walks step by step, he understands what he is doing before God. Brother and sister, these are holy activities. As we holy persons in a holy place with holy garments with him. Unto me. My final point is this, and we close in a short while. What I would not want to call the communion of the fragrance. Christ and his perfume. I will just mention it, and then I will just touch on that last thing. In Exodus 25, verse 22, this is the expression, there I will meet thee. Mercy seat. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 42 to verse 43, there I will meet thee. Continual burnt offering in the context. In Exodus chapter 30 and verse number 6, where I will meet thee. In the light of the altar of incense. That Aaron has to do as he lights up the tabernacle and the lampstand with the incense. And in Exodus 30 and verse number 36, where I will meet thee, The perfume of the incense is not to be duplicated. Keep it very small. These things all speak of the satisfaction at the mercy seat. The altar of continual burnt offering, where the idea is every day Aaron is going to come at the foot of the altar and there observe the ashes at the bottom of it. How have you spent your day? How do you spend your day today as we finish? Will you be able to say, "Holy ashes, Lord, for me"? Will that mark the rest of your life and throughout the days of this conference and after we return a continual burnt offering? And then the altar of incense together with the light, it glows most when the prayer will ascend together at the same time. You know, a bright testimony speaks of a prayer life and a worship life that ascends to God in the fragrance. Then the last one is this. Beat it very small. The incense of that composition. I like this very much. There was a time when the Bible says it will be fulfilled. He shall be exalted and extolled and shall be very high. Mr. Newbery says, according as his visage was so marked, more than any man in his form, more than the sons of men. Not because of the cruelty of the sufferings in the hands of men, because only one man at the cross of Calvary suffered under the hand of God. When he displayed that judgment, it was for you, it was for me. Only one man took that position, more than any man, visage more than the sons of men. So what rises to God in his satisfaction will be in accordance to what he suffered when he bowed his head so low underneath our load of woe. Brethren and sisters, when it comes to what brings fragrance, as I close now, I know my time is 5 minutes past. Prosperity conceals, adversity reveals. In times of prosperity, there will be things in the human nature, in you and in me, that will never ever be known to God, will never ever be known and displayed before man. It will never bring its fragrance unto God. It is moments of adversity. It is moments of trials. It is moments of sorrow and suffering that God has the opportunity to see all that he has enjoyed in the person of his Son and now his people. In like manner of knowing what it means under the hand of God and under divine dealings, you have the fragrance that will rise up. And the next time you have a complaint, and the next time as you enter in and pass through, if God will bring you through moments of suffering, know that God remembers his Son in the fragrance when he was beaten small. And there the fragrance came up in all that would present to God in his satisfaction. Brothers and sisters, let us enter in to know Christ and his perfume. And we as his people, as Moses receives the pattern, the position, the principles, the person, and all that will has been sent already, finally, the perfume of the sufferings of Christ. And to have that fellowship, because the day is coming, we will have fellowship with him in the day of his power. May the Lord bless his word. Let us close the prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for occupying our time at this days of conference. And then we thank thee, Father, for reading the scriptures together and our thoughts variously directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, our Father, for as we now come to the end of the day, we desire, O God, to gather with the measure of our hand and our little grasp all that we have heard, all that we have recorded down in our notes. And Father, we desire to bring them to the pillow of the bed and upon bended knees and express to thee our thanksgiving for thy goodness to us because of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Take up our thanks, O God, and we might, our Father, prove to be those that would appreciate thy Son in worship, in life, and in everything we might be associated with him, having known the pattern that Moses received. Take up our thanks now as we separate, commending thy people to thee, and the brethren that are preparing for the morrow's responsibilities, And give thanks now for the food and fellowship, for we do so in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.